morning and welcome to the March 2019 ADM Farm Direct Fertilizer Report. This monthly conversation is intended to help you stay on top of the global fertilizer prices and buy in bulk at the most opportune times. I'm your host, Jake Nieder, and today we're joined by BK Morris from the CRU publication. And we welcome BK with us today, and we're going to today talk to you about the global fertilizer market and give you an update on how we can help save you money by buying in bulk. BK, are you with us? Can you kind of give us a breakdown on what you're seeing in the global fertilizer market today?
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'll start at NOLA and work my way out. Starting with urea, we're seeing the mid-range of last week's market around 248 showing up again in this week's market. The competition from overseas either looks like it's about even in terms of the end-user markets of Brazil or attempts to move slightly higher from suppliers out of North Africa, offers from North Africa. Egypt's about 240, which would work out to about 242, in a barge cost, maybe a little more, offers from Algeria and Nigeria. They're trying to achieve, somewhere between 250 and 260, which would work out to about 251, 252 in a barge. Right now that neither of those numbers might not be attractive today. The primary reason is we've got boats still backed up in the U.S. Gulf. As those boats clear, then we may see room for a price, for more aggressive prices from overseas or perhaps higher prices domestically. But right now, those numbers aren't really encouraging for further cargoes to come here. Having said that, no one's telling me we need a lot more in the near term because we simply can't discharge them. Looking down to phosphates, we've seen the interest in phosphates just slam shut, whereas the lack of interest in urea at NOLA is based on the fact that you can't move it. We still seem to be oversupplied, and despite the cutbacks announced in China, cutbacks announced in Morocco, cutbacks, of course, announced here at home by Mosaic. The international market doesn't really look any stronger to us. We've got business in Asia that would return to China right now at about 380, 385. And right now you can't get buyers to match that price out of China. They don't want to do business there anymore. They want to do business lower. None of the international markets are really showing any bullish sentiment right now. And a big part of this, even though there's obviously, you know, people waiting on India for urea, other markets for phosphates, a big part of this is the global market is watching NOLA. They're wondering to themselves, are we going to see fewer cargoes committed to the U.S. this spring? I'm sure Jake will go into that in more detail. But basically, we are part of the U.S. situation here in the wake of the flooding and the difficulty getting up the river is influencing the rest of the global market, and it is weighing down a lot of the prices we're seeing overseas in terms of who might be coming here. And other than Morocco, Russia, we don't really have we didn't have a lot of interest in from other suppliers to come here, certainly not from China for obvious reasons. But that interest has softened even more since the flooding and the issues with the river, continue. I'll touch on potash just briefly. So far, 23,000 tons of, granular urea has discharged, has been discharged by Eurochem on the East Coast, from their new granulation, production. They also have 10,000 tons, apart cargo headed for, New Orleans, so that will bring their total in season to about 33,000 tons. That's a little more than I expected, but it's probably a little less than they could bring here if they wanted to. They seem to be satisfied bringing it here in smaller cargoes and discharging either on the East Coast or at NOLA, as we've already mentioned. Obviously, there's nobody's talking about excess supply in potash, but nobody's concerned about the market running out right now either. So a little more U.S. focused, but we are having a bearish influence on pretty much most prices out there in the rest of the world. So thank you very much.
Thank you, BK. That's a very good update, very concise and very quick. We're at that time of the year where we're definitely waiting for a spring season, and all the news and rumors that we're chasing in the market are compounded in the magnifying glass of really waiting for the spring season. And so let's kind of talk through what we're seeing out there. And you've done a great job kind of framing up what we're seeing in the world market. Bottom line, the U.S. Gulf market right now is just a few dollars behind what we can bring in the world imports for. But it won't take much to rally the Gulf price and bring in those imports. But as you've said and alluded to, we did rally a few weeks ago. We rallied the U.S. barge price up into the mid-250s, and that did bring in the import price. And so we have cargoes pointed to the U.S. Gulf for that April-May timeframe. That really is going to come in and help serve the top dress market and serve that Delta market, which is a key import market for us. And so, again, sticking on this nitrogen path for just a little bit, one of the things that I think we have major concerns about here at ADM is, as you all have been watching these flood issues and water issues, late spring issues, it does not bode well for anhydrous ammonia application. We're seeing deterioration in anhydrous ammonia pricing, which will ultimately lead to switching and increase in UAN demand and increase in urea demand. We ultimately think that that will have an effect on interior values, not necessarily on the NOLA prices. And what we're seeing is, as NOLA prices are moving up and down and being a little bit more erratic this time of year, the interior prices are remaining firm and continue to firm ever so slightly. And a lot of that has to do with just the general risk in logistics of getting product to the terminals. The biggest issue that we're facing right now is the flooding issues up and down all of the river systems. Whether it's the Ohio River, whether it's the Missouri River, whether it's the Upper Mississippi River, which isn't fully open yet, or just the main Mississippi River, we have risk of floods, flood issues in various phases and stages of the river. And we have delayed issues of getting barges to and from river terminals. So ADM's well positioned in front of that from our own inventory perspective, and we're going to stay on top of that as best we can. But I think the market in general is nervous about that, and why you're seeing an increased premium on prices and prices continuing to push forward. As people sell down on their positions, you're going to see those prices push up regardless of what's going on at NOLA. So we see, particularly on urea and on UAN, an increase on the in-season, in-position tons as we move into this April, May, and first part of June timeframe. We don't really see a break in pricing going forward now. And that's an unfortunate thing because the world market is somewhat stable. It's flat. We don't see a decrease in those global prices, though, so that's an all right thing. It's not like we're missing an opportunity to buy further. But we do see a rally in those global prices as well, as the global markets will return to demand as we get into that kind of May-June timeframe when the global markets return. We do see India coming back into the market. We see Brazil coming back into the market, which will help stabilize demand as well. So overall, a steady nitrogen market, particularly on urea. Here's where we see weakness, and it's getting into that kind of July-August timeframe when we go into the reset months, and particularly the U.S. in itself starts to look for liquidity on UAN. With the EU and the anti-dumping duties on UAN, we see a very difficult market for the U.S. trying to figure out where it will take its UAN tons, because it will not be have the competitive advantage it enjoyed going into the European Union. And so it'll have to be a little bit more competitive on its UAN shipments. And so we could see a much lower UAN price than what we saw last year, and see prices similar to what we saw in 2017-18 on the reset on UAN, which I think will bode well for all of you on a buying perspective. So we look to see a little bit more aggressive UAN number next year than what we saw this last year. As BK pointed out, just in general, seeing overall tight logistic markets, and now it's all about the execution. So don't see a major dip coming for the top dress markets. Recommended that you be covered on your nitrogen needs. Sulfate is kind of one of those tied to the nitrogen products as well. We see an uptick in sulfur. As I look through the sales position from our wholesale books and our retail books, it's one of the most underbought products. which I think is an indicator of where prices will go on sulfate. And I've been preaching it since back in September, October. It's probably got the most potential upside in pricing. We still have continued outages. We have logistics issues on top of those outages. We expect sulfate prices to increase. And if you're still exposed on not locking in those values, we'd recommend doing so. If you're considering locking in summer fill values, we'd recommend waiting. Usually there is a reset on that market and there's a better time to buy than locking in your needs for next year. Going into potash, BK mentioned the new Russian production. Seeing that into the marketplace for the first time, one of those things that we look at that could help soften the market. Our range on potash for reset is somewhere from the best case scenario for the producer, rather, from a best case scenario, would be a flat market to potentially down $30, somewhere in that range. Our expected case is we'll probably see a reset of around $10 to $15 a ton as we get out of this U.S. spring season. With that being said, we have a lot of inventory in the U.S. market right now. We didn't have the fall that we wanted or expected, and we probably won't see the spring because we're going to have a more compact and compressed spring season. That ultimately leads to a little bit of carry out, and so we think that there'll be a bit of pressure on potash prices. If you haven't covered your potash, we don't expect price erosion further for this spring season. But we do expect some for the fill for the fall of this year. That is not yet reflected in prices because it's not been shown at the producer level and it's not yet reflected in any kind of a forward market. So a better day to buy potash. With that being said, we turn our attention to the phosphate market and what we're seeing on the phosphate market. On the phosphate market, as BK alluded to, the global market is still something that we're not yet seeing fully take off. We're seeing some return to activity. We're seeing Brazil start to step in for cargoes, a little bit in India, but not yet in its full fury. And so we're still seeing a little bit of an oversupply build out of the Chinese market. Their domestic season has been a little bit of a disappointment so far, so they've got a little bit of excess inventory there. On the U.S. side, no spring season yet, so our inventories remain high. The pressure on the phosphate price has actually reversed itself because of the production cuts, as BK mentioned, but ultimately the price expectations have not been yet met as what the producers had hoped for or expected. Ultimately, we think that will help, though, drive down the inventories that we're building, that we saw build during first quarter, as we get into second quarter and we go through a spring season. Price direction for phosphates, flat, and we see it flat going through the spring season and into reset. We see, once Brazil, India back into the market, this being kind of the low point for the year and us working ourselves up probably about $15 to $20 as we go into the third quarter of 2019. So those are kind of our expectations on the major products. A couple things I want to mention before we go into our grain point of view update. For growers who are still struggling out there with where to go, what to do on financing, ADM does have that solution for financing on with Rabobank, and it's out there on grower.raboag.com. And please go out there and consider looking into that, as we can help you with the financing needs. And those of you still considering the storage option, we have the Meridian storage option and the Greenfield storage option to help you take advantage of buying in bulk at the farm and saving this potential and saving dollars at the farm and taking advantage of these opportunities that we're talking to you about. With that, we have Kim Rugel from BQCI here with us today, and she's going to give us an update on the grain markets and kind of help us make heads or tails of what's going on in the grain market. Kim, what do you got for us today?
Well, thank you. Boy, I wish I could make heads or tails of this grain market here as well. Over the last month, the funds have continued to sell corn, to sell beans, to sell wheat. And seasonally, as we go into U.S. planting season, that's kind of counter-cyclical to what we would expect, that the speculators should really be trimming these shorts, starting to look ahead to the U.S. growing season, the U.S. planting season. But instead, they've continued to sell. And it really seems the market's more focused on the China trade the U.S.-China trade uncertainties. We saw that evident in the market yesterday when Bloomberg came out with some headlines saying that China was kind of stepping away from the table, from stepping away from the trade negotiations. Beans immediately went from down 2 to down 5. We saw crude oil reverse from higher lower. The Dow sold off from the high of the day and ended up closing lower. The Chinese yuan currency also sold off on those headlines. And shortly thereafter, the Wall Street Journal came out with a differing story saying that U.S. Treasury Secretary Mnuchin and the head or the leader of the U.S. trade delegation group, Lighthizer, were heading over to Beijing next week, that trade talks were going really, really well, and that we were expecting the Chinese trade delegation probably to come back to Washington the following week as we're wrapping things up. But still here this morning, markets are pretty choppy sideways. Volumes have turned very light, with the trade, just speculative trade, I would say, more uncertain about where this China trade is going. And we are seeing mixed trade here this morning. So funds are holding a record short in corn, wheat, soybeans combined for this time of year. And that just really seems to be the focus. We are starting to talk about weather. We all know that snowpack is huge. We're setting up for flooding across a very, very large swath of the Midwest. But we're still, from our trade territory up here in the north, 4 to 6 weeks away from actually really doing anything, getting out in the fields. So time-wise, weather just isn't keying off yet. And I think the forecast we have here for the next week, maybe even the next 2 to 3 weeks, is looking pretty ideal. Some of those down in Nebraska, Kansas, it may be a little wet, but snow melt looks like we're going to be coming here at a pretty good pace. And without any big rains in the forecast, I think we're going to get there. So it's still a month away here on that planting, so that's really not keying into the market. China trade uncertainty certainly still bears down, and that's really just kind of the two things we're watching. We will get USDA out at the end of the month, March 29, I believe, next Friday, with prospective planting. That survey was done on March 1. Can't really say one way or another at this point yet on what we're going to see for acres. Does the weather that we're seeing right now and the flooding impact that number or not? We will also get quarterly stocks. We should see bigger bean stocks. Corn stocks could be less than last year, but still U.S. and world stocks are ample. So again, sideways choppy seems to be the direction of the market till we get anything on China.
Thank you, Kim. Appreciate the update. We do appreciate you all joining us today. We know it's getting closer and closer to growing season. So because the next call would fall during the middle of planting season and the next one definitely in the middle of planting season, we're going to skip the April and May call. We'll be back to you on June the 19th. Until then, if you've like what you've heard, please feel free to go out to admadvantage.com and learn more. We'll continue to post updates out there, please get in touch with your local sales rep, and we can give you frequent and periodic updates through them. And we appreciate your time you've spent with us today. We'll stay on the call for any questions that you may have.
I just had a question on anhydrous ammonia. I still got to get mine on this spring, but I would just want to know there. I just know across the countryside there's a lot of anhydrous to go on. And do you guys think that we've got the infrastructure and the supply to do it all, or do you think a person needs to be looking at other sources of nitrogen?
So what I'll tell you, sir, is that there were years like this where we were panicked about the amount of anhydrous ammonia that had to go down. If I remember, it was either 2011 or 2012 where there was a similar spring, a lot of flooding, a lot of wet weather, and we saw that the entire amount of anhydrous ammonia had to go down, and we had a carryover of, I think, about 30% from the prior fall. We saw anhydrous ammonia go down in about a 12-day window. There's an incredible amount of capacity at the co-op level, at the application level. Where the capacity usually falls behind is on the pipeline level to resupply it. So if the anhydrous ammonia is there in the tank or in your bullets, then yes, there's usually a lot of capacity to get that down and applied.
Where the infrastructure usually lacks is in the resupply at the terminal level to then get it back to you in a timely manner and get it on the ground. What we've also seen is you guys have come back in and done a lot of side dress later, and there's been shown a lot of capacity to do that, and the plant has been very resilient to that, and that's helped kind of round out that application. But I think the bigger issue that we're seeing is you look at the states like Iowa, the states like Nebraska, they're big nitrogen states, and all of those are under flood. So any nitrogen application that happened in the fall, that nitrogen's gone. And I feel bad for those poor farmers in those areas because they're in a disaster scenario anyways. But when you have that kind of water going through the ground, and that ground may not be farmable anyways. And so this could be an irrelevant comment that I'm making. And so I don't want to apply a disaster scenario across the whole ag spectrum. But I do know that when you have that kind of water moving across the land right now, you're having a massive amount of leaching, and so the amount of nitrogen there available for the plant is going to be very minimal when we get the plant in the ground. And that's kind of my major theme that I have here, is that we're just going to struggle with nitrogen available to the plant.
Well, that's a terrible deal right now for those guys.
It is.
I feel real sorry. But I know our local retailers around here, I think they've got all their storage tanks and their nurse tanks all full of anhydrous, just waiting for when guys can go.
So you're probably going to be fine then getting your anhydrous on, and I wouldn't make the call on switching. And if you're locked in on contract, then I would roll forward with your anhydrous application. What I do know is they're probably not prepared to make the switching yet, because again, the thing I feel is the market itself isn't prepared for a 92 plus million acre corn crop. We've just not seen that buying happen on UAN and urea from the get-go. And so I think there will be a scramble on those upgraded products. And so I would still try and get as much ammonia in the ground as I can. But I would be prepared to make that switch over if you had to.
Okay. Hey, thank you.
You betcha.